quiet listening to pearls of wisdom.
His beard grows long. He's turned away from Starbucks.
Jesus from the block. Jesus from the block.
In a garden, he produces Jesus tears out of nothing. Jesus from the block.
Well, we're encroaching on hours, so I'm one thing I would like to ask, actually, for both Jennifer and Christian, really, and Brandon too, if you care. But just reading reading this and like reading his perspective of Jesus, and obviously most of what we understand about Christianity and mainstream culture comes from more conservative perspective. Everything, like, do you guys see a future in trying to build like a Marxist society through Christianity? Do you see any sort of future with Christianity and Marxism, sort of, like, I don't know how to explain exactly, just, is there a future to this, or is this just going to be like a side thing forever? Like, or it's like,
I don't think there's a depoliticized way to build any sort of society structure through Christianity.
Really?
Well, I mean, through Christianity directly.
Not even depoliticized, but sort of forcing this perspective back into a sort of forcing this historical perspective back into Christianity. Like, I mean, not like a Trojan horse necessarily, but like, is there a future to this, or is this just like, is there a way to like introduce this more into modern Christianity, do you guys think? Or are we just stuck with these things?
I'm always trying to talk to people deconstructioning from conservative Christianity, who are just like people like to just like sit there and like get mad at stuff that they hear, that like gets mad at stuff, which is like, I'm great. I get mad at shit that my family or like people back home are doing all the time, but they're not really turning that into anything.
Right.
I think that this evangelical deconstruction from Christianity, and then like even people just deconverting altogether, I think that these people who are just really mad at Christianity, especially like since 2016 or whatever, and I started deconstructing before then, so like I feel like I've already gone through a lot of like what you would call this like angry raging healing shit, where it's like I'm not really mad at my parents anymore.
Right.
You know, like I hate things in the church, and I still get, I guess what you would, I hate to use the word triggered, I still get upset at things that I hear that Christians are doing all the time. But like, it almost is almost just as upsetting to me to see these deconstructed Christians being like, okay, well now like, please take my $600 seminar on how to get over purity culture, and like, read my book like on how bad it was that I had really strict parents growing up, and like I just, you know, left my church. I was a pastor for 15 years and I just left my church 3 months ago. So
like exposés basically.
And I get angry, but I think there's a way. Like somebody challenged me on this. It was somebody else, Damon Garcia. He wrote a book wrote a book called The God Who Riots, and he complained to me one day, and I was talking about how upset I was at all these like ex-pastors like commodifying their fucking experience, and he was like, they don't know how to do anything else. They don't know how to do anything other than take their spirituality and try to make a career out of it. And like, when you don't have a church anymore, when you don't have a platform or a public anymore, and you just have to figure out like they don't have any, what other transferable skills do they have, really?
Right.
And I think there's a big opportunity for maybe leftist or communist Marxism to kind of be like, all right, you don't like Christianity, you don't like conservative Christianity, but here's an alternative, because you don't want them to just turn into Democrats, right?
Right. So you're talking about bring them in as like potential, like grooming them as leaders to some extent.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm too optimistic.
Yeah. I mean, like, I mean, you look back in American history and like the black left, I mean, there seems to be some degree of that, like Martin Luther King and everything to some extent.
I would just say, like, you know, to your original question of like, is there a future in this? I agree with Jennifer. Like, if there's not a future, then I have wasted a lot of the last several years of my life. So, yeah. I have this organization. It's right now, it's mostly just a Facebook page. It's called Red Star Ministry. And you know, that I think that, and like liberation theology really stresses this, that like the essence of Christianity is supposed to be in praxis. Like it's supposed to be in getting out in the world and actually doing things. So if there's going to be a future in this, it can't come from like people writing books, even me. It can't come from talking about it and arguing that Marxism and Christianity are compatible online. It really has to come from like people who want to see that future, like starting organizations or even just going out and doing it by themselves and like actually putting it into practice. That's the only way. But I do believe, you know, that if that's done, then yes, I do think there's a future.
Yeah, to use another Christian word, I got real convicted about that exactly this year. And that's what made me out and start joining the groups here and just being like, I cannot be online and be doing any, like, this isn't doing anything. I'm just one voice in like hundreds and thousands of perspectives, and this is not enough.
And I'll add to that just very quickly. The question of is there a future in kind of framing Christianity within this Marxist political lens, I feel like what other alternative is there? I think that like just throughout the history of colonialism, Christianity has already been politicized. It's been politicized for to justify colonialism, to justify the eradication of different cultures. It's already politicized. There's no way for it. It's not like it was neutral and then leftists are trying to interject politics into it to try to like wield it, you know, into a different way. It's a reversal of that reactionary politicization that's been going on for hundreds of years, specifically within this country. Like that kind of creates like this schism. Like, you know, Christianity has undoubtedly been part of like the primary contradiction in this country, which is settler colonialism. You know, how do you address that among the settler population? Do you either just kind of like force them to reject that aspect of their religion, which is being tied to this like kind of like rightist ideology whole cloth, or you force them to kind of criticize and dissect their faith to be able to actually remove that from like the political reality that's been utilizing it. I feel like you have to reframe Christianity. I don't know what other way there is except for to just advocate for the complete rejection of that faith entirely.
Right. I didn't mean to imply that it wasn't already politicized.
Oh no, yeah, no, yeah. I'm sorry. I mean
like you go back to like slavery in the United States and like the slave owners like giving them Bibles without the parts about slave uprisings and stuff. And
I don't mean to say that you specifically did that, but I think it's just like there is that framing that like, you know, religion is more or less apolitical, and that's kind of what it's been understood of, like under this capitalist like realist idea that's just like the dominant ideology.
Yeah, my parents all the time who are like the word like just moderate. I don't even know if you can say any Republican is a moderate, but they're never Trump Republicans, I guess is how I would describe them. And they didn't like Trump because he wasn't nice. It wasn't because of anything he believed in.
Yeah, right.
They all the time they're like, well, you know. They say stuff like Jesus isn't a Democrat either, and like I'm like, ugh. They think their Christianity is also
Jesus. It's true. Jesus wasn't a Democrat. He was not a Republican. He was not some of that shit.
I mean, my parents think I'm a Democrat, and even when I say that I'm not, I don't think it matters.
Yeah, it's like the few times I get an argument online, people are like, yeah, Bill Clinton, your guy. I was like, Bill Clinton's not my fucking guy.
I have to explain to my aunts, like, I hate the Democrats more and better than you do. Like,
No, that's what I was arguing. I said something about something, and my dad goes, goes, yeah, well, liberal Bill Gates. I was like, you can't.
I'm
yeah,
like, no, I want to kill Bill Gates. Like, you yeah. don't even know. You're not on my level.
Is this a rule of anybody on the Epstein plane? yeah. Well, do you guys have anything else you want to add or cover before we?
Well, this was our smartest podcast ever. we didn't talk about any dicks. We didn't talk about any. We didn't talk about breast milk
this time. There's still time.
Yeah. We can. Yeah, we can open up the floor.
We'll save the breast milk conversations from when we have Jennifer's mom on.
I like your cat, Rob. I saw your cat come to say hi earlier. I wanted to comment.
Oh, they always do that, yeah. Like, they hear my voice, hear me talking, and they're like, well, now I need to go bother him.
Yeah. Tell them your cat's names. You have the best cat names.
Oh, Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff. Yeah.
Boris Karloff? Wait, what was the other one?
Bela Lugosi.
Nice.
And predictably, Bela Lugosi is always hissing and attacking Boris.
You got to get another one and name it Lon Chaney.
Yeah, no, I wanted to name, I thought about Lon Chaney Dibble Jr. I also, originally, I wanted to name this one Vincent Price, but then my girlfriend at the time was like, we live in South Philly, we're not naming a cat Vincent.
name him Dwight Fry, that's a good one.
Dwight Fry. No, maybe, who was the one who played Frankenstein's son, not the Mel Brooks version? Fuck, I'm blanking on his name. But he was in a bunch of the Hammer films.
Universal?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I haven't gone past Bride of Frankenstein for those.
Oh, yeah. After like the last one with Boris Karloff, Basil Rathbone. I think Basil's a good.
Oh, okay. I think the last like Karloff like or like Universal adjacent one I saw was Abbott and Costello.
And Brandon is writing a skateboard book.
That's true. I am writing a skateboard book. Yeah, that's yeah. It's very cool. Different from a historical materialist recontextualization of the Gospels, but yeah,
but equally worthy. Is yeah, it like less, a history or like a?
It is a yeah. It's kind of a it's a graphic novel. So
oh, cool.
I'm working with my friend who's an illustrator. So it's really like it's an overview of the history of skateboarding from a personal perspective. And I'll say this here because nobody actually knows who I am here. Really, I don't think, but it's in terms of like Marxist analysis goes, I try to add a little bit of that in terms of like reframing the history of skateboarding in not in terms of like the great men of history theory where it's like one person does all the kind of innovation and stuff. It's really just more of how like, what's up? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Hawk is cool, but you know, he's not every kid who kind of like recontextualized their material conditions in order to like, you know, to progress the sport.
That sounds very cool.
Yeah. It should be okay. I hope it's okay. Fuck.
Yeah. We'll go back. We'll go into more of that when we bring you both on.
Yeah. And then, video. And then Brandon will be the guest instead of the interviewer.
Yeah.
Oh man. I'm going to be horrible. I'll be so belligerent.
More so than when we were repeating the same conversation every week.
Oh, that was
yeah, more so because I won't give you anything. I'm just gonna eat chips the whole time.
You know, that was something that's what we started doing in the pandemic, and that was what this podcast was originally, and then it evolved into a real podcast. But yeah. Brandon was like, or not Brandon, Rob. So I met Rob online, and Rob and Brandon were friends in Philly until Brandon moved back Indiana. To his hometown in LA.
Indiana. Not.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know y'all.
That's okay. That's okay. I just
better.
I feel like if we were friends in Philly, our friendship wouldn't have been the same. Indiana really kind of colors it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like you just sort of cling to what you got there. Like,
exactly. Indiana.
Yeah. Oh, I was in Muncie. He was in Indy. We were both working in Indy.
And anyway, so then Rob had had me on a couple times of his other podcasts that he had with his friends to just talk about polyamory and like religion and stuff like that.
Well, it was before polyamory, the first time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That was the religion.
Like, that was like 10 years ago almost.
Oh my God, that's
like
crazy.
9 years ago, maybe? Yeah, 8, 9
That's crazy.
Ago.
Anyway, yeah. Like, and then Rob messaged me and was like, hey, do you want to do this project where we just do a podcast and then we repeat the script? And we did. And it was so weird. And like, I hated it so much by the end. And it's, do you know how awful it is to have to reread all your little ums and shit and just be like, and you're like, why did I say that? It was so stupid over and over again. And I don't remember. They're weirder than me. I'm not like, I'm pretty normy, but I'm just weird enough that like, if somebody asks me to do something that I think is cool and weird, and that, and like, I'll be like, yeah, I'll do it.
That's why I asked you. I was like, who can I?
I'm get? Also, yeah, we're, yeah, like that. I think that's the thing that we really do share. Like, we were both weird enough to want to do it, but we're both not so far gone where we can't be self-conscious about how stupid we sound while we're doing it. Like,
well, Brandon, like, you were more like the person I was like, oh, he'll definitely do this. Jennifer,
of course, was... yeah, of course I would. Yeah, because I like, yeah, like, I just add more to the pile of shame. Like, what am I gonna,
yeah, Jennifer, yeah, I was like,
away from that at that point.
Jennifer is like the right balance of like weird and professional enough that,
and
I was like,
still, yeah, with her dignity still intact and like worth preserving. Like, mine's gone.
It was impossible to describe it to any of my friends. I was just like, this is my podcast.
I don't think I did describe it to any of my friends.
I tried not. I only did so begrudgingly when people were like, you have a podcast? I was like, well,
no.
Okay, yeah. Here's the thing. Yeah. How do you guys know each other, though? How, Christian and Jennifer, how do you did you guys meet?
Also Twitter. Online.
Just online?
Oh, wait. Didn't
Twitter,
you guys meet
I remember.
I thought you guys met at a conference.
We only met in person once, and we just
in Nashville when I was visiting my parents.
Oh, but you guys are doing a conference coming up, right?
He lives
Christian,
in Chicago.
I don't even know where you are right now.
I'm in Chicago.
Oh, you're in Chicago. Oh. So you understand how awful Indiana is.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah.
Well, I like Columbus. I have a friend
Columbus
who lives there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Columbus and like Bloomington maybe get a pass a little bit.
I've never been there. Yeah, I go to Columbus like at least once a year and like camp with my friend and hang out. So no, I like okay, that yeah. town. But yeah,
if
no,
you're
like,
studying,
but pretty much everything south of you until like at least Indiana is just wasteland.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Wait, is Columbus?
It's wild here.
Yeah. Do you smoke? You get cheap cigarettes.
My grandma sends me sometimes to buy her cheap cigarettes, and like across the state border.
Wait a minute, nice. Though. Is Columbus where Indiana University is?
I thought that it's Bloomington.
No, it's Bloomington. Yeah, Columbus is where Laura Squirrel lives.
I just know they got like weird, like they got like kind of impressive architecture there. I don't think I've ever.
Yeah, that's where Laura lives. That's she where the Indiana
really?
Noise Fest
oh,
was.
Shit.
She sent me a Facebook friend request, and like, I don't really accept friend requests from people I don't know anymore, but I accepted hers, and now she likes and comments everything I post.
Really?
Oh shit! Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You gotta start posting more Napalm Death and some Grindcore.
And if you're studying the Civil War, aren't you gonna come out to like Harper Ferry and
No, you know, I had a plan. I was gonna go to Harper's Ferry, but I had a grant to pay for it too, which was crazy. But their whole like archives and stuff are closed. Not in Harper's Ferry, but in, I don't know, whatever town, the capital of West Virginia.
Why? What's the purpose of closing archives?
I don't know.
It's COVID?
Renovations or something, but they're closed. Most of the stuff that I wanted to see is online anyways, except not all of it. Actually, it's really, one of the things that I really wanted to see is, my thesis is on John Brown.
Hell yeah.
His son, Owen, had a bunch of, like, letters between him and his wife that were in code.
Wait. Oh, John Brown's son, Owen, had a lot of letters.
Him and his wife wrote letters.
Oh, his wife. So his
in
wife.
Code.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Owen and Owen's wife.
Okay.
And
okay.
You have to be 18 to even see these letters, and they're not online, and the code is not online. And I want to know what the hell they say and why you have to be 18 to read them.
Are they nasty? They're probably like James Joyce's letters, like about like how
I was really excited.
Smell and shit. That's
I was
awesome.
Excited to take a look at those, man. But I'm not going to be able to. So
that's a bummer.
God.
Sucks. But yeah, so my Harper's Ferry trip got canceled. Yeah, I might hit it on the way to North Carolina this summer, though.
Oh yeah, we have to. When is your baby coming?
Not till September.
Oh, okay.
So, oh, yeah. Congrats.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a real baby, right? We're talking
real human baby.
Right. It's not code for some. some freaky Owen Brown code for something else.
If you find yourself in Pennsylvania, you might be interested in a New Hope. There's this antique shop, or not antique shop. This is, but it's this place in Peddler's Village, I think it's called. That sells like, they'll sell you like your coat of arms and like all this other shit. But they had, last time I was there back in like November or something, they had a bunch of old newspapers of the Harper's Ferry, whatever the newspaper.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I looked through it to see if there was anything about the Harper, about John Brown, but there wasn't.
There's not anything about John Brown in Richmond.
No, but it's all Civil War era though too.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
How close is it to Philly?
About an hour, maybe.
Okay. If I ever have like an excuse to go to Philly, I take it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so cheesesteaks are like my favorite sandwich.
We went to
New York as like an emergency to go get a friend who was stranded there, and I diverted us.
A pretty big diversion if you're coming from Chicago. You can go straight off the northern route there.
That is how much I love.
It's like that Seinfeld episode where like Elaine goes to the hospital and he's like, "You stopped by for jujubes."
Oh, that's such a good episode. I went to see Rob in August. Well, I was really seeing Me Without You, but I stayed at Rob's house in August, and it was so much later than I normally stay up, and Rob was like still like going, and like I'm a mom and boring, but then I made Rob take me to get a cheesesteak, but he's a vegan, so I was like, are you gonna be mad at me? And I'm just like,
where did you guys go?
Did we go to Geno's or Pat's? I don't remember.
No, because I remember when I went to Philly, I was like, I want a cheesesteak, and you were like, Pat's and Geno's are bullshit. Let's go here.
Oh, Jim's Steaks burned down.
Jim's. Oh, that was Jim's. That's right.
Yeah, they burned.
You just took me to the bullshit one.
Well, Jim's isn't open right now. There was a fire. It's been closed for like a year. All right, what is
you
it?
You just went to the less racist one.
You know what? I gave up meat for Lent, and I am making that bullshit vegan cheesesteak recipe I sent to you for the Super Bowl. Do you remember? They were like, buy this $100 smoker. I'm not doing that. I'm just going to add liquid smoke. But it's
It was like those soy noodles, right? Like the soy fettuccine.
The bean curd sheets.
Oh, it was bean curd sheets. That's
I like those. I don't know, smothered in nacho cheese and the bread would be great, but
I'll send you guys both the recipe, but I'm eager to see how it turns out.
Me too.
With since I'm not buying the $100 smoker, I'm a pretty like snobby foodie. I'll buy crazy shit, but I'm not buying something to add the accent of like a $100 smoking machine. I'll just
get
like,
one of those like just get one of those metal like containers that restaurants use and get your own wood chips and
or just trash cans.
Yeah, no, and like I'm Daniel is basically a Boy Scout. We have a fucking like smoker that we smoked a turkey in for Thanksgiving, and like Daniel is always going outside to like chop wood and light fires, like. So
yeah. You can smoke a turkey. That takes hours. Like smoking soy bean curd paper takes like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
you're probably well equipped for it. Where do you get your cheesesteaks, Christian?
Oh yeah, good point.
There's a place in Chicago called Philly's Best, which is okay. But in Philly,
but you get cheesesteaks in Chicago.
There's kind of literally one place.
You did they get the bread?
In Chicago, we have like our own version of the cheesesteak that's like not the same.
You got your Italian
that you can get anywhere.
That's just like that. That's just delicious. I don't know.
Italian beef
doesn't have the cheese though.
Any Italian beef place is also going to have cheesesteaks, but it's a Chicago cheesesteak and it's not the same.
Oh, what's the difference?
It uses like different bread, and it always has like a lot of peppers on it. I don't know. It's just not the same. And like they're not going to have like, you know, the good provolone cheese or the cheese whiz that I like. So no, it's just not the same. In Philly though, I went to Tony Luke's.
Okay.
And, like, that shit changed my life. That was the best sandwich I've ever had, ever.
I got cheese fries there once, I think, but I don't actually, I think they, I don't know what's going on with them. I think they've franchised out and like their one big location over Fairmount and Ridge and Broad closed down. But I think there's, where's the one you were, it's the one you were at down in South Philly at On Oregon?
I think so. Yeah. It was in South Philly.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's, yeah, I think they're the one that's down by Oregon, like down by the IKEA and stuff, closer to the stadiums.
Man. And like, I've only been to Chicago once, but like ever since I watched The Bear last summer, I've been super obsessed with the idea of the Italian sandwich that they have in the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, there's like, the South does not have Italian food. There's just no Italians here. And like, even in like Richmond, like there might be one or two, but like people from the North bitch about it. So I know it's not good. And but like, I have been dreaming of this Italian sandwich, and like, I tried to make it myself at home, and I thought it was okay, but I bet the ones in Chicago are better. And then Jay Kenji Lopez Alt just did this fucking deep dive where he studied the tavern style Chicago pizza for like 6 months.
Oh, hell yeah.
And he just came out with a recipe, but I have to order the special peppers from the Chicago place. And
really?
And I want to wait until I can actually eat sausage to have it.
Wait, what peppers?
Hold on, let me look it up. It's in the New York Times that he like he studied the blade. He studied the pizza. I've been thinking about this pizza for like fucking weeks, and I don't want to eat it. I mean, I eat meat on some Sundays sometimes because I'm a Protestant. So,
there's a pizza place here that was opened by a former Wall Street guy that just apparently for years just started making his own pizza until he perfected the recipe, and then he just sold one type of pizza for like a couple hours a day for years, and now I think he has like a formal place and like a second formal place too, but
he's still in Wall Street.
No, I don't think so. I think he just does this now.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
Wow. The hell is that?
This isn't the recipe. This is his.
Are you sharing something?
I do not have access.
Brussels sprouts? I don't know what. I don't have access to New York Times.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that I have access because I stole my friend's husband's account.
Nice.
Wait, are you guys seeing something I'm not? Because I don't see anything.
I don't see anything anymore. I saw it for briefly.
I didn't see anything at any point.
Oh, Christian, I see you have you got X's on your hands. I take it you don't partake in you don't drink the Malort.
No, I do not drink the Malort. I have heard nothing but horrible, horrible things.
I've only heard horrible things about it and from like hardened alcoholics and stuff. Okay. So I can only imagine it's terrible.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you come here, people, like if you have a friend from here, they're going to just make you do it. If they just get it over with.
Oh, he says to special order JP Graziano hot G. I'm so sorry. Giordano. I'm sorry, Christian.
Giordano's?
Yeah, JP Graziano hot. All right. Let me.
JP Graziano hot Giordanera?
Yes.
Okay. I could see that.
I'm going to send you the recipe.
Wait, you put that in pizza? The Giardinera?
Giardinera, yeah.
I thought this was sausage sandwich.
It's not like, you know, it's not like a staple, but like, yeah, it's good. We have like,
I mean, I can imagine it's so, but like, to hold off on like making a pizza recipe until you have the Giardinera, that's interesting.
Well, I think we have like a specific Giardinera here that's like a Chicago Giardinera.
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard from my friend who's from Chicago. They're like,
feel like you could make
it. Giardinera's bullshit. Giardinera's here are always bullshit. I'm in LA.
Really?
They're always bullshit. They're not from my estimation. I don't know no better. But from my Chicago friends, like it's just like, yeah, no, you don't know what you're doing with the pickled peppers.
People here don't know either. I mean, I guess you can do. They make really good. Like Actually, Southerners are pretty good at pickling things, but it doesn't, but not the Italian, not Italian things.
They're not good at pickling Italian things.
No.
I don't know. I feel Monterey like it wouldn't Jack, be that hard. God, to just
that sounds controversial. I don't know. Combination of low moisture mozzarella and shredded Monterey Jack.
That's only if you can't find the full fat, low moisture mozzarella.
I've never even heard of this. This is like a regular style pizza, not a deep dish pizza.
No, you're gonna piss off Chicago pizza. Don't say it. Even though I actually like Chicago style, like deep dish stuff, and I think it gets too much hate. But
I like really, deep dish too, and I was told like that's not Chicago pizza. It's like okay.
But I'm desperate.
I have it anyway.
But I'm desperate to try the tavern style. It's one of the few styles I haven't tried.
Yeah, I've never even heard of this.
The tavern style is the good shit.
Huh.
For sure. If you ever come here, I will tell you where to go.
Do you? Oh. How does your historical knowledge like kind of extend to like what Jesus ate? Like, all right, let's assume that you went back in time, gave Jesus a pizza crust. What would he put on it?
Probably like fish paste.
Garum. I'm back in that.
It's garum? I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Thai. I will fuck with fermented fish all day.
You know what? My Anthony is also part Thai, and he says like being vegan, it like that nothing can replace fish sauce, and that no vegan.
No, it can't. Like I am all for like the end of industrialized farming and stuff, but like I'm sorry, I just refuse to see fish as having souls or being equal. I will
actually just for the thing about how they are.
It's gonna be like I will kill a fish myself in front of its family for that taste. I'm just not evolved enough. I'm sorry.
I just read this thing about how pescatarians are responsible for more death and suffering than just regular meat eaters because of how many more fish are involved in killing, and that they do have sentience and they do feel pain and suffer when you let them just suffocate and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I eat the ones that are sentient anyway, but I always make people here eat like less meat than they would want to. And then like doing the giving up like meat for Lent means like, you know, I told them they don't have to do it, but I appreciate that they do, like, cause Ty's not a Christian. And then like my kids, I try not to make them forced to do things, but it's a good experiment.
Well, you're a good cook though. So like if you have like dietary restrictions, like they go down a lot easier when you actually know what to do with them.
Yeah, tonight I made lasagna soup, which was like
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, mushrooms and zucchini with like marinara combined with vegetable broth and spinach, and then you put like this huge dollop of shredded cheese mixed with ricotta, mixed with parmesan, and like drop it right in.
Has anybody tried the beefless bulgogi at Trader Joe's?
No.
No,
I should though. It's got EBT, so I can now.
I don't go to Trader Joe's. It's in like,
oh, really?
They're too, not because of any moral reason, but because they're in horrible places in town. So like I would have to like, it's on either end of me. I would have to drive into like the super crowded, most suburban area of Richmond that is always has traffic, or like literally 40 minutes away to the next one.
It's like my favorite thing these days. I mean, Chung A says it doesn't actually taste like bulgogi, but she also says like it still is incredible.
Nice.
Yeah.
I split and then, you know, I got Impossible chicken nuggets from Walmart, and then like probably a week after I finished it off, they were like, this item has been recalled because of wood pulp.
Oh fuck, really? I eat those at work all the time.
I mean, it's wood pulp. It's not like E. coli. It's like, I probably eat wood pulp.
Is that literally just like ground up wood? Like, is that all it is? Just like casing it out of, so it's just a vegetable.
It's still vegan.
What's the difference?
Okay, well, I'm worried about Rob getting to New Jersey. So,
I have to eat still. But yeah, Thank you for coming on, Christian.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks so much. Really
nice to meet
you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you as well.
Thank you.
Oh, very quickly. I don't have a copy of your book yet. Exactly. Jennifer sent us like the PDF to kind of like to go over. Is there any way that we can get that directly from you, or is it just like through Amazon is probably the best way?
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's through the book district. You can get it pretty much any bookstore. Like they can order it, or you can get it on Amazon anywhere.
Okay, all right. You there's nothing like that. Like you have a bunch like surplus, and you prefer to get it directly.
No, they only gave me a few author copies, and I gave them away.
No worries, that's
so
good.
Just
know.
Buy it wherever. It helps. It lets the publisher know that people will care, and if I want to publish another book, they should consider me.
Sounds good. Nice. For anybody still listening, the title is The Carpenter's Son, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I might just continue
recording.
You
can edit out all the pizza talk.
Yeah.
No, actually, I was thinking like it might be fun.
No, pizza talk.
No, yeah, no. So all you what do you fucking call those
Italians?
Gastrophiliacs, whatever the fuck. for all you foodies. Yeah.
No, actually, yeah.
Pick up this book.
We put these up so infrequently, and then we always end up talking to people for so long. I started figuring, Lord Jonas, like, why don't I just like record however much of these, and then just put up extra episodes later where it's just
that's
not.
That's probably a good idea, Rob.
Yeah. We talked to Christian about Christianity, talked to him about pizza.
You know, Anthony does like Dungeons and Daddies, and that's always like 90 minutes long. But he says his research told him that most people get more views for a podcast if they're under 60.
We got to do what On Cinema did when they first started and just do like 4-minute podcasts. We can make this one like 80 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, I do try to keep them under an hour or at an hour. That's why I always try to wrap it up at an hour. But yeah, I mean, we did two parts for what's his name too, Ernesto. And like every time we have somebody on, we always end up talking to them for like 2 hours and only put up an hour. So
yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks again. That was fun.
Thank you guys.
Yeah. Thank you. This is awesome.
Have a good drive to New Jersey.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and enjoy.
Bye.
All right.
Good night, everybody.